Well, good day, saints, and we welcome you to another Lord's Day message brought to you from Calvary Church of Needles. I invite you, if you're somewhere where you can have a Bible in some form safely in front of you, that you grab it, and to begin with, make your way with me to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. The book of the minor Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. It's right near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. It's a short chapter, and I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety. So, saints, listen to God's eternal word. Zechariah 4, picking up in verse 1. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.' Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of 'Grace, grace to it.'" Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And the second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Now, saints, make your way with me to the Gospel of Mark. I have a short section in Mark's Gospel. It's in chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. I'm going to pick up in verse 25. Mark 5, 25 through 34. Once again, listen to God's eternal word. "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" Our third pillar passage for this study is in the book of Hebrews, In our study through Hebrews, we are in chapter 11. And I want to read for you Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. Hebrews chapter 11, picking up in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. See that, saints? Okay. Let's cry out to God before we launch into this study. Let's ask him for his assistance. We need your grace always, Father. We especially need it when we're considering your eternal word. We want to understand your scripture correctly. And we want to have the illumination to be able to see how these truths fit together. And you always provide it for us, Father. You're so faithful. We ask again today, we just simply come to you and just ask once again you'd send down your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds, to give us understanding into this passages or these passages we're going to cover today, to speak to us directly and personally, and in the process, once again, to incrementally sanctify us, to change our character just a little bit more into the glorious image of your Son, Father, of you, Lord Jesus. Look forward to this miracle again occurring in our lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, saints, Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't tell us everything we need to know about faith. After a brief description of faith in verse 1, the author of Hebrews focuses on one particular facet of faith. The emphasis of this famous chapter is on the fruit of faith, the good fruit of true faith. True saving and sanctifying faith operating in the life of a believer will always result in good works. The great feats of faith chronicled in this chapter, these are some of the good works that God prepared beforehand for these particular Old Testament saints to accomplish. Saints, this is now our fourth study on chapter 11 in this series on Hebrews. In the previous three studies on this chapter, we've looked at what it says about faith. Well, in this study today, saints, I want to share with you some of the facets of faith that this great chapter on faith doesn't address. Remember, saints, the Bible is an integrated message system. All the truths in the Bible fit together. And God has scattered aspects of each of his truths throughout the Bible so that to understand any truth fully, we have to consider everything the Bible says about that truth. So here are some of the truths about faith we don't learn about in this chapter. We have to go elsewhere in the Bible to learn about these facets of faith that I'm going to share with you in this study. Are you ready? Okay. First, saints, the author of Hebrews doesn't tell us how faith works. He describes these great feats that these believers accomplish by faith, but he doesn't explain to us how belief and trust in God produce these feats of faith in and through these believers. The author simply says, by faith. He says that over and over again. By faith, they accomplish these extraordinary works. So, saints, we have to go to the rest of the Bible to learn how faith works. And here's what the rest of the Bible teaches us. Here's how faith works, saints. Listen carefully. Faith connects us to the triune God. And through the golden pipe of faith, God imparts to us enlightenment and empowerment. And God's light and life working in us and through us produces the good works that are the fruit and evidence of true faith. If you're still there in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In this verse, the author tells us that we understand biblical truth by faith, but he doesn't tell us how this works. Here's how it works, saints. Here's how we came to believe that God created the entire universe ex nihilo, out of nothing. And this is how we come to believe all the truths in the Bible. Faith connects us to God. And through the golden pipe of faith, God imparts to us illumination, His heavenly light, so that we are enabled to believe what God's Word says. One of the truths being that God created the entire universe out of nothing. God spoke the universe into existence. Saints, we need to know how faith works. Here's why. So that when we come to a difficult or offensive truth in the Bible, we will know how we can believe this difficult truth. We will know that we can't believe it, we won't be able to believe it, by our own capacities. We won't be able to believe it by trying to believe it ourselves, by our own capacities. When we try that way, we find that we can't believe the truth no matter how hard we try to. Instead, with the faith we have, we ask God for His illumination to enable us to know that what God's Word says is true. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Here's what will happen, saints, when we do this. Faith will connect us to God. And through the conduit of faith, God will impart to us illumination, His heavenly light, enabling us to believe the biblical truth that is offensive to us and that we couldn't believe by our own capacities. Saints, we're shown how faith works very clearly in the account of Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. one of our other pillar passages for this study. The woman's faith connected her to Jesus. In her case, literally. By faith, the woman came up behind Jesus and reached out and touched his garment. So her faith, in this case, literally connected her with Jesus. And immediately, the account says, the woman was healed. The flow of blood ceased. And the account tells us how this miracle occurred. It says that Jesus, in that instant that the woman touched him, Jesus perceived that power had gone out from him. That's in Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Mark 5, 30. So through the conduit of the woman's faith, Christ's power flowed into the woman's body and stopped the outflow of blood. This is how faith works. And notice something very important, saints. The faith itself is not the enlightenment and the empowerment. The enlightenment and the empowerment are from God. So our faith is not the power. Faith is it's the conduit, it's the golden pipe through which God's power flows to us. And this is another truth about faith that the author of Hebrews doesn't emphasize in chapter 11. Now, I've been calling faith the golden pipe. This is a biblical reference. Our third pillar passage for this study, which was the first passage I read for you, is in Zechariah chapter 4. It's one of the visions that God gave the prophet Zechariah. It's the vision of a golden lampstand with seven lamps and a bowl on top of it. On either side of the golden lampstand are two olive trees with a branch extending from each olive tree and a golden pipe attached to each of the branches. In the vision, golden oil flows forth from the olive tree, from the olive trees. Golden oil flows forth from the olive trees through the branches into the golden pipes and through the golden pipes into the bowl on the top of the lampstand. And from the bowl into the seven lamps on the lampstand. You follow that, saints? That's how faith works. I'll explain the vision to you. The two olive trees represent Jesus in his two offices of priest and king. The golden lampstand represents Christ's church, his people. The golden oil is the enlightenment and the empowerment of Jesus that he imparts to his people. And the golden pipes picture our faith through which we receive Christ's enlightenment and empowerment. This is why I've been calling faith in this study the golden pipe. Describing the ministry that God had given him, the Apostle Paul says this. He says this, describing his ministry. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy. Struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. In this verse, the apostle is describing the golden oil, the enlightenment and empowerment that fueled him to serve God and to fulfill his ministry. Saints, the power is in the one faith believes in and trusts in and unites us to. Faith itself is not the power. Faith is just a conduit for God's grace. But it's an indispensable conduit. It's the golden pipe through which God imparts his light and life to us. As a matter of fact, saints, this is the point Jesus was making when he said to his disciples, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Luke 17, verse 6. The disciples had just asked Jesus to increase their faith. They thought they needed more faith to experience more of God's power and blessings. And Jesus replied to their request in this way. If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying, the power is not in your faith. As a matter of fact, if you had the smallest speck of faith imaginable, faith the size of a mustard seed, and you exercised that faith, great miracles could occur. Because the power is not in the faith. The power is in God. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. The account indicates that she had very little faith. Very little faith. The account says that before she came to Jesus, she had already gone to many doctors to get healed. And she had spent all the money she had, but it had only gotten worse. Verse 26 in Mark chapter 5 tells us this. And then when she finally came to Jesus, instead of approaching Jesus and asking for a healing, she came up behind him and reached out and touched the back of his garment. But still, saints, Jesus healed her. And afterwards, he commended her. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. That's there in Mark 5, verse 34. Mark 5, 34. Saints, God loves faith. So even when our faith is very weak, we're to exercise it. And we'll be surprised by the big blessings that we receive from God. In that well-known verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, God says through one of his prophets, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support, to give empowerment to those whose heart is blameless, literally whole, toward him. Whose heart is blameless toward him. See, God is searching the earth for those who trust in him in their hearts in order to bless them. Bless them with his golden oil. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, the author of Hebrews says, for by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. They received commendation from God. Even if their faith wasn't great faith, even if it was faith the size of a mustard seed, God still noticed and rewarded his people's faith. So remember, saints, the power is not in our faith. The power is in the one we believe in and trust in and unite ourselves to. But saints, although God commends any faith we have, God desires us. He wants us to grow in our faith. Several times during his public ministry, Jesus reprimanded the 12. He reprimanded them by saying to them, "O you of little faith." So how do we increase our faith? Saints, this is another facet of faith that the author of Hebrews doesn't address in his chapter on faith. Again, his main emphasis is on the good fruit of true faith. So we have to go elsewhere in the Bible to learn how faith increases. And here's what the Bible teaches us. You know this, saints. We go over this all the time. God has graciously provided for us means of faith, ways that he has designed for us to increase our faith. And God has helpfully listed together in one verse in his Bible the four main means of faith. The verse is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You know this verse, saints. Speaking of the first new covenant church, the church in Jerusalem, God's word says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which means hearing the gospel, the fellowship, which means fellowship with other believers in the context of worship, to the breaking of bread, sharing in the Lord's Supper, and the prayers, meaning both corporate and private prayer. Those believers in that first New Covenant church devoted themselves to these practices because these are the four main means of faith that God has provided for his New Covenant people. Again, hearing the gospel, corporate worship, sharing in the Lord's Supper, and corporate and private prayer. Now, saints, to practice these means of faith, we have to exercise faith. So as we exercise the faith we have, God imparts to us more faith. In this sense, faith is like a muscle. The more we use it, the stronger it gets. James Augie says this. He says, as a weak limb grows stronger by exercise, so will your faith be strengthened by the very efforts you make in stretching it out toward things unseen. Unquote. And saints, this is Jesus' main point in his metaphor of the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. In that teaching, when Jesus says, abide in me, he means have faith in me. Believe and trust and have confidence in me and my promises. And when you do, my life will flow into you. And your life will produce good and lasting spiritual fruit. Just like when a branch stays connected to a grapevine. Sap from the vine flows into the branch and produces the fruit of the vine on that branch. Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John chapter 15, verse 5b. So John 15, the second half of verse 5. And saints, we learn elsewhere in the Bible that spiritual fruit refers to both outward spiritual fruit, good works that God has ordained for us to do, and spiritual fruit also refers also to inward spiritual fruit, the character change that God's grace is gradually producing in us. See, saints, this is another facet of faith that the author of Hebrews doesn't cover in his chapter on faith. Think of it this way, saints. All those Old Testament believers listed in Hebrews chapter 11, at the same time that they were being empowered by God's golden oil to carry out their great feats of faith, at the same time, God's grace was incrementally changing their character, slowly sanctifying them from the inside out. The author of Hebrews in his chapter emphasizes the outward spiritual fruit, the good works that these Old Testament saints did when they were empowered by God's grace. But at the same time, God's grace was producing inward spiritual fruit in these believers, making them by degrees, incrementally, more and more godly. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, Genesis 6, 3, might indicate that Noah spent 120 years building that football field and a half long, four stories high ark that he built. But however long it took him, every day Noah worked on it, he not only was being empowered by God to finish the work, at the same time God's grace was empowering him and sanctifying him, making him more and more Christ-like. Listen to the way that the Apostle Paul concludes one of his New Testament prayers. The Apostle says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." Listen to this. "According to the power at work within us." To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Okay, saints, here's another very, very important truth about faith that we don't learn in Hebrews chapter 11. Saints, faith is not the union that keeps us in Christ. Please listen. The instant we were saved, the Bible teaches, we were united to Christ in an eternal, unbreakable spiritual union. But the bond of this eternal union with Christ is not our faith. If our faith was the bond of our union with Christ, our union with Christ wouldn't be an eternal, unbreakable spiritual union. Saints, the bond of our union with Christ is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. In that miraculous moment that you were saved, many salvific miracles occurred in that instant. The most profound being that God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And saints, when the Holy Spirit came into us, he united us to the risen, enthroned Christ in heaven. He united us eternally and unbreakably to Christ. This is what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 mean. When these two verses say that We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let me read these two verses for you. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him," believed in Christ, "were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance," our heavenly inheritance, the new heavens and new earth, "until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." It's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Saints, on God's side, we're united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. And this is why true salvation is eternal salvation, unable to be lost or forfeited or taken away. You know, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." That's John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. John 10, 27 through 29. Again, if faith was our only bond to Christ, well, we would be in Christ, and then we would be out of Christ. In Christ, and then out of Christ, because our faith, saints, fluctuates. It's not steady and sure and certain. But listen, saints, our faith gets stronger and steadier as we hear the gospel proclaimed. And the gospel proclaims that we were saved fully and eternally in that instant that Christ effectually called us and freely gave us saving faith to believe in him and trust in him. And as we hear this good news over and over again, our faith gets stronger and stronger. Again, incrementally. Okay, saints, I have one more truth about faith not found in Hebrews chapter 11 that I want to share with you in this study. We might call this facet of faith the precondition of faith. Saints, before God empowers us with his grace, as we're exercising faith, before God empowers us, as we're exercising faith, trusting in God and waiting on God to act, we feel very weak. This is what makes living by faith very hard. This weakness that precedes God empowering us by his grace. Actually, the author of Hebrews makes one reference to this precondition of faith, as I'm calling it. He makes one reference in his chapter. Describing some of the exploits of the Old Testament saints, he says of them that they were made, quote, "made strong out of weakness." They were made strong out of weakness. That's in the middle of verse 34 in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 in the middle of verse 34. I pointed that phrase out to you in our study on Hebrews 11 2 weeks ago. See, saints, before God empowers us, God shows us that we can't do it ourselves. He empties us of faith in ourselves. Think of Abraham and Sarah waiting for 25 years for their promised son. Each year getting older, each year getting 1 year older and less able to produce a child themselves Think of Noah on his first day of work as he began building the humongous ark, as he cut the first board. Think of how weak and unable he must have felt. Think of Abraham starting out on his three-day journey to Mount Moriah to obey God's command to sacrifice his son. The account of that event is in Genesis chapter 22. And I've always thought that one of the most impressive things in that chapter is what verse 3 says. Genesis 22, verse 3 says that Abraham rose early in the morning to begin his trip to sacrifice his beloved son. Think of how weak and heartsick Abraham must have felt. But he rose early in the morning to begin obeying God. What a man of faith. Before God empowers us, God shows us that we can't do it ourselves. He empties us of faith in ourselves. And God shows us that others can't do it for us either. The woman with the issue of blood, she tried many doctors and was now out of money. Think of how weak she must have felt as she snuck up behind Jesus to touch the back of his robe. We have to get used to this, saints, this precondition of faith. It's the weakness before the power. It's the cross before the glory. This is how God works. Philip Hughes says this. He says, every believer must learn that human weakness and divine grace go hand in hand together. The greater the servant's weakness, the more conspicuous is the power of his master's all-sufficient grace. Now, I still haven't gotten used to it, saints. But I want to get to the point in my life where when God makes me weak in some area of my life, instead of getting mopey and grumpy, I get very excited, anticipating, knowing that his golden oil is getting ready to flow once again. Okay, saints, I've entitled this message, you can probably guess, Facets of Faith Not Found in Hebrews 11. And there are other facets of faith that we weren't able to cover in this study, additional ones not found in Hebrews 11 as well. Those are some of the main ones. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I was tremendously blessed once again by studying your word and waiting upon you for your illumination. What a great God you are. Thank you that you're teaching us your ways. And your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, as Isaiah 55 says. So we're slow learners. We thank you for your great patience with us. We thank you that you continue to teach us the same truth over and over again until we get it. We need that, Father, we confess. Pray for these dear saints who are listening to this message. Whatever day they're listening to it, that it would be a great day in the Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.